visit the temple and go to the holy places. It's quite an experience. I guarantee you'll never be the same again. That is guaranteed. Namaskare Sarvabhoma Asana Vidivedela Sabakari Miletabe Asane Vasila. Translation. As soon as they entered his house, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya offered the Lord obeisances and a place to sit. After seating all the others, the Bhattacharya took his seat. Nana Krishna Vartakahi Kahila Tanhare Tomare Tani Ailan Age Magi Bare. After they had discussed various topics about Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, I have come to your place just to receive your order.
Sanyasakari Vishwarupa Giyache Daksine Avasyakari Veame Tana Ave Shane.
Translation. My elder brother Vishwarupa has taken sannyas and gone to South India. Now I must go search for him. The Lord is looking for his brother. He found him. Does anybody know which place he actually traced him out?
Huh?
It was in Maharashtra, but I'm trying to think of the name where Vitala is. Yeah, what's the name of that place? Where? Pandharpur. He went to Pandharpur and he stayed there. And then he's associated with Madhavendra Puri. And ultimately he left his body. I mean, he left his body in the area of Pandharpur and went back to the spiritual world. So Lord Chaitanya actually goes to Pandharpur.
Agya dehi avasya ami daksine kaliba tomara ajanate suke lehiuti asiba.
Please permit me to go, for I must go toward South India. With your permission, I soon shall return very happily.
Suni sarvabhoma hoila atyata katara charane darira kahe vishada utara.
Upon hearing this, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya became very agitated. Catching hold of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave his sorrowful reply.
Bahu jan mera punya phale painu tomara sange heina sange vidhamora kare laika bange banga.
After many, many births, due to some pious activities, I have got your association. Now Providence is breaking this invaluable association.
Sire vrajapattai yadi putra mariyaya tahe sahe tomara vichera saha na na yaya.
If a thunderbolt falls on my head, or if my son dies, I can tolerate it, but I cannot endure the unhappiness of your separation.
Svatantra ishvara tumi karibe gamane dinakato rahe dehi tomara charane.
My dear Lord, you are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly you will depart, I know that. Still, I ask you to stay here a few days more so that I can see your lotus feet.
Tahara vinaye prabhu pavura stitila hoilamana rahila divasakata na koila gamana.
Upon hearing Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relented. He stayed a few days longer and did not depart.
Bhattacharya agrahakari karane nimantrana grihe pakke kora prabhuke karana bhojana.
The Bhattacharya eagerly invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and fed him very nicely.
Tanhara brahmani tanra mama stari statira mata randi biksha dehan tenho aschara tana kata.
The Bhattacharya's wife, whose name was Satimata, the mother of Sati, did the cooking. The narrations of these pastimes are very wonderful.
Ageta kahi baitahe koriha vistara eve kahi prabhu dora dakshina yatra samachara.
Later I shall tell you about this in elaborate detail, but at present I wish to describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour.
Dina pache rahi prabhu patacharja stane kali bara lagi age magila apane.
After staying 5 days at the home of Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally asks his permission to depart from South India. The Lord is asking his permission to go. Notice the etiquette. Being a guest in his house, he's asking, can I go now?
Prabhu re agrahe Bhattacharya samata hoila prabhu tanre lange jagannatha mandire gela.
After receiving the Bhattacharya's permission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. He took the Bhattacharya with him. I'll stop there. You see how wonderful the etiquette is. Although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
And though he has a mission, and he's been invited to someone's home, he actually takes his permission to leave. May I leave? And when Bhattacharya, of course, grants that permission, the Lord happily goes on his way. You see the etiquette there. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's respecting his host in such a way that he honors his host. His host is honoring him, not only as a guest, but as the Supreme Lord. But still, he respects his host and says, "May I go?" And then this is the etiquette. And you see how wonderful that understanding is. There's great love and respect between the devotees and the Lord on all levels. Any questions or comments? Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're beginning chapter 14, the system of universal management. Those of you who want to be managers, you should pay attention to this chapter. Because you don't have to manage a universe, but little tiny universe. Sri Raja Vacha, Manvantareshu Bhagavan, Yatamanya Vadas Tvime. Yasmin Karmani Yeena Niyuktastad Vadashvame Sri Rajovacha Mandantareshu Bhagavan Yatamanya Davyastvime Yasmin Karmani Yeena Niyuktastad Vadashvame Sri Rajovacha Manvantareshu Bhagavan Yatamanya Davyastvime Yasmin Karmani Yehena Niyuktastad Vadasvame. Sri Raja Avacha, King Pariksit said, Manvantareshu, in the reign of each Manu, Bhagavan, O great sage, Yata, as Manu Adaya, the Manus and others, to, but, Ime, these, Yasmin, in which, Karmani, activities, Ye, which persons? Yena, by whom? Niyukta, appointed. Tat, that. Vadasva, kindly describe. Me, to me. Translation. Maharaj Pariksit inquired, O most opulent Sukadeva Goswami, please explain to me how Manu and the others in each Manvantara are engaged in their respective duties, and by whose order they are so engaged. No purport, text 2. Sri Rishir Uvacha, Manavam Manu Putrascha, Munayascha, Mahipate, Indriya Suraganas Chaiva, Sarva Purusha Shashanaha. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, the Manus, the sons of Manu, the great sages, the Indras, and all the demigods, O king, are appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, such as Yajna. Text 3. Yajna Dano Yat Katita, Paurushyastha Navo Nirpa, Manvadhayo jagat yatram nanyat yadi prachoditaha. O king, I have already described to you various incarnations of the Lord, such as Yajna. The Manus and others are chosen by these incarnations, under whose direction they conduct the universal affairs. Purport. The Manus execute the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations. End of purport. Text 4. Chatur yugante kalina grastam Chuti Churti Ganayata Tapasa Vishayo Pasyan Yato Dharma Sanatanaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. At the end of every four yugas, the great saintly persons, upon seeing that the eternal occupational duties of mankind have been misused, re-establish the principles of religion.
Purport. In this verse, the word dharma and sanatana are very important. Sanatana means eternal, and dharma means occupational duties. From Satyayuga to Kali Yuga, the principles of religion and occupational duties gradually deteriorate. In Satyayuga, the religious principles are observed in full without deviation. In Treta Yuga, however, these principles are somewhat neglected, and only 3/4 of the religious duties continue. In Dwapara Yuga, only half of the religious principles continue. And in Kali Yuga, only 1/4 of the religious principles are left, which gradually disappear. At the end of Kali Yuga, the principles of religion, or the occupational duties of humanity, are indeed lost. Indeed, in this Kali Yuga, we have passed through only 5,000 years, yet the decline of Sanatana Dharma is very prominent. The duty of saintly persons, therefore, is to take up seriously the cause of Sanatana Dharma and try to reestablish it for the benefit of the human race. And the Krishna conscious movement has been started according to this principle, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51. Kalaya Doshini De Rajan Asti Yeku Mahagunaha Kirtanadeva Krishna Syam Mukta Sangha Paramdajan. The entire Kali Yuga is full of faults. It's like an unlimited ocean of faults. But the Krishna conscious movement is very authorized. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who 500 years ago inaugurated the movement of Sankirtan, Krishna Kirtan, we are trying to introduce this movement according to superior orders all over the world. Now, if the inaugurators of this movement strictly follow the regulative principles and spread this movement for the benefit of all human society, they will certainly usher in a new way of life by reestablishing Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupational duty of humanity. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. Jiveya Sarupoye, Krishnera Nityadas. This is the purport of Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana means Nitya or eternal, and Krishna Das means servant of Krishna. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gana Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Kasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stampitam Yena Bhutai Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swayam Padatikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunthyamala Sri Dvaiti Kadara Srivasani Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Translation again, please repeat. At the end of every four yugas, the great saintly persons, upon seeing the eternal occupational duties of mankind, have been misused, reestablish the principles of religion. So we're beginning a new chapter, the system of universal management. And here, it's a very interesting translation and purport. So that just like the government in the secular world has military and they have police force and they have so many agencies in order to keep what they call law and order within society and keep everything functioning according to what is considered the law of the land. Originally, or initially, that same system that applies to ordinary human life is also there in all aspects of creation. There is a very detailed, elaborate structure which makes up the universe that functions according to the laws of the Supreme Lord in order to maintain what we say universal management according to those laws. And when there's a breakdown of the system, then some agency or some personality is put into effect in order to reestablish it. Like when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a rise in your religion and decline of religious principles, he comes. He personally comes to reestablish the Dharma, to remove atheistic and demoniac people from the world, and to once again establish the principles of true religion. So even the Supreme Lord takes part in this reestablishment of the universal management on all levels. This is the really how tight everything is structured. Sometimes we wonder. We see how it appears that things are going on just without any clear indication of any kind of control behind it. But actually, there's a very, very, very systematic and tight control in order to ultimately provide an atmosphere where people can live according to at least biased activities, morality. And morality is the standard for human life. That is a standard even within human. Below morality, you have what is called animal life. Animals, you know, they simply live according to the dictates of nature and follow the whims of their mind and senses according to their control by the material nature. But a human being is expected to live a moral and religious life. And if a society is at least that, then they can make progress materially and spiritually. So in order to maintain that standard of livelihood in the world, there's a very, very elaborate system of checks and balances that keeps everything in line. And when there's something that gets out of line, some force comes in order to reestablish it. So here, it says here, at the end of every four yugas, great saintly persons, upon seeing the eternal occupation duty of mankind have been misused, reestablish the principles of religion. Great and saintly persons. So we see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about when there's some demon appears or some calamity in the world, what happens? The demigods, they go to Brahma and they say, Brahma, there's a problem. We need to fix it. Sometimes they try to fix it personally. They try to reestablish or rewrite a wrong situation. But when it's beyond their ability, they go to Brahma. And Brahma, then he goes to the shore of the, what we call the Shirodakshai ocean, the ocean of milk, which is the planet of the Lord in the material world. The Lord has a planet in the material world. It's actually the pole star, the place where Dhruvaloka is. It's also Shirodakshai Vishnu, where the Lord resides. It's the highest planet in the material world. It's considered an eternal planet. It's the only eternal planet in the material world. It's never annihilated at any time. And the Lord resides there in his former Shirodakshai Vishnu. And whenever there's a need for the Lord to incarnate, Brahma goes and petitions the Lord, and the Lord comes in order to reestablish religious principles. And that is exactly how everything functions. So this is so there's a high regard for maintaining an appropriate moral and religious structure within society. Interesting. Now here it says that the perfect society is Satyayuga. And some places in scriptures describe what is Satyayuga. Satyayuga is considered to be the golden age. People lived up to 100,000 years. Valmiki Muni, he meditated for 60,000 years. He was a resident of Satyayuga. And he was able to Valmiki Muni, yeah. Valmiki was... Yeah. Yes, but prior to that, he was part of Satyayuga. He came after Traitayuga also, but it's mentioned Valmiki Muni was... He lived in the Satyayuga. He meditated for 60,000 years, became perfect in God consciousness. Ramchandra came in Traitayuga. But again, the yugas are cycles. They just keep coming, like seasons. So, what was the climate? And it's explained that 99.9% of the population in Satyayuga were on the level of Paramahansas, spiritually endowed with all spiritual qualities. And only a tiny, tiny fraction of the population was outside of that. But everyone practically was following. And the means for self-realization, according to the age, is always a struggle. In other words, there has to be some effort. So people knew about chanting of the holy names, but they didn't chant the holy names because it was too easy. It was too easy. So the process wasn't chanting the holy names. It was what is called the Eightfold Mystic Process of Meditation. When people in Yama and Niyama having to control the mind and senses, sitting in meditation, controlling the breath, visualizing the Lord within the heart, and ultimately focusing on that until one actually comes to intense concentration on the form of the Lord and ultimately enters into samadhi. And that was a means for self-realization in the Satyayuga. And people were qualified. Everyone could do it. The age was so set up that there was no climatic problems. The seasons were so aligned that each season came according to its date and ended right at its date. It would rain only when there was need for rain and only in the evening. That way the sun would come out during the day and nourish the land and take advantage of the crops being wet at night. Everything was so systematically organized because of the quality of the age. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, when this whole world again becomes God-conscious, well, again, we can usher into Satyayuga. We'll again reappear on this earth. Try to imagine. Now you look outside, you just become horrified just by walking and driving. It's just like you want to close your eyes, right? It's like a bad dream. Really. It is. It's just hell. They say, you know, welcome to hell. You don't have to go any place to be in hell. It's just right here. And sometimes we can't see that. But if you live in a culture and an atmosphere where people are God conscious, and you see what life is like, and then you come to a situation where it's not, you just, any sane person freaks out. Most Indian people, when they come here, they just go, it's like a shock for them. They can't believe it, right? When you first come here, it's like, God, people are like this, you know, they're just so hard-hearted and, you know, selfish and greedy for money, and it's just like so hellish. Of course, it's everywhere in the world now, but, you know, in some places in the world, there was establishment of some refinery and some culture. So, Satyayuga was so perfect. People weren't God conscious. And the means for self-realization was meditation, and the Lord appeared as Kapila Dev. Kapila Dev appeared as the Yuga avatar in that age, and he taught the process of what is called Sankhya Yoga to his mother, Devahuti. So that was the age. And that age lasted for 1,728,000 years. That was a long age. And then gradually, religious principles have a tendency to go down. It says in the material world, the tendency of the material energy is to bring things down. Therefore, in devotional service, in order to maintain your devotional service, you have to work at it. You can never take it easy and expect to not to be dragged down. And Krishna consciousness means constant effort and cultivation, because the material energy works in such a way as to drag the living entity back into that energy again, the lower modes. So gradually, due to the force of time, some of the religious principles were lost. There are four religious principles. There's mercifulness, truthfulness, cleanliness, and austerity. These are the four religious principles. So gradually, one of the original religious principles was lost. And then we came and we had Treta Yuga, which was the next age. And there, the means for self-realization was very elaborate Agnihotras, costly sacrifices. Building the fire, chanting the mantras, offering the grains, the ghee, precious ornaments, jewels, everything as an offering to the sacrificial fire. It is explained that the fire is actually the tongue of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is consuming the offerings as it's being offered. And in order to perform such sacrifices, one had to be very, very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. There would mean much gold, much precious metals were needed. And people were able to chant the mantras. It's explained that nowadays no one can perform Agnihotra properly because there's no qualified Brahmins who can chant these mantras according to the Vedic means for chanting properly. It's not possible. And so, that was the means for self-realization in Treta Yuga. And people were qualified. And religious principles were still very strong, but still there was some decline. And then Dwapara Yuga came. And then half of the religious principles were lost. And people became a little bit more materialistic. And gradually, was going down and down. So in that age, the means for self-realization was deity worship. According to the Pancharatri Kiviti, the worship of the deity in a very elaborate and gorgeous, in a very, very detailed way, according to the scriptures. The way we worship the deity now is only a very small aspect of the actual rules and regulations of Pancharatrika. We're very, very lenient. Still, it's strict. Still, you have to be Brahmin to go onto the altar. You have to bathe before you go onto the altar. You must wear clean clothes before you go onto the altar. If you pass urine in those clothes, you can't go onto the altar. If you eat in those clothes, you can't go onto the altar. If you sleep in those clothes, you can't go onto the altar with those clothes. And you must be clean shaven. Everything must be so suci and clean. Everything. And there's so many mantras for offering the artis. You can ask the pujaris. Each deity has a mantra as you offer. There's mula mantras and there's other mantras. And there's mantras for offering food. And there's mantras for awaking the deities. There's mantras for putting the deities to rest. And this is only, as Srila Prabhupada said, he gave us about 20% of what is available as far as deity worship. We only got a small little token of the rules and rites. Because no one can perform the deity worship according to the actual systems that were performed in the Dwapara Yuga. Very, very. Because the deity is Krishna. The deity has manifested himself as the Supreme Lord. He is non-different than his deity. And so that was the means for self-realization in that age. But gradually religious principles went down, people became more materialistic. And it's explained that the quality of people in that age, they were very proud. They were austere, but they were very proud of their austerity. You read the stories of the Mahabharata coming from the Dwapara Yuga, you know, a lot of them or that ending, that time just prior to Krishna coming. People were very, very, very proud of their opulences, their powers, their abilities. People were challenging each other. Out of a sense of pride, out of a sense of sometimes martial spirit for the Kshatriyas, a sense of Brahminical learning amongst the Brahmins, a tendency of pride that was there. But still, religious principles were still 50% intact. Now we're in Kali Yuga. Welcome to hell. This is the Kali Yuga. This is the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, lying, cheating, nepotism, stealing, on all levels of society. People fight with each other. On family members fight, friends fight, political rivals are always fighting. People are fighting. This is the age of fight. Right? Just sometimes two people are talking together. What are they doing? And you listen to them. They're fighting with each other. Everybody likes to fight. This is the age of fighting. Right? You see, even in religious circles, people fight. This is called Kali Yuga. This is the product of Kali Yuga. It's not Krishna conscious. It's not God conscious. It's the product of this age. You find nobody's satisfied either. Nobody's satisfied. The people have so many material things, yet everybody's dissatisfied. That's Kali Yuga. Right? And people work sometimes, you know, throughout the day, just for a little bit of food, or some sense gratification, or some material toys in order to somehow or other make their life more entertaining. They just work like an ass. They accept all kinds of situations, and they work very hard just for a little bit of money. In this age, people are after money. If you have money, you're considered to be successful, right? And the more money you have, the more you're considered to be successful. And if you can cheat other people by getting their money, you're also considered to be not only successful, but you're a hero, right? Somebody was just telling me the other day, this man who's very wealthy, Mr. Gates, he put some kind of patent in his discoveries, which is causing so many other corporations to be stymied in their work. So now they're complaining that he's cornering the market on every level. And now we cannot make our millions, and he's making his billions, you know. So he's Mr. Gates. Glorious, right? If you get a chance to meet Mr. Gates, you're honored, right? What is he? A big thief, that's all he is. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk one time, and there was some very wealthy businessman with him. This was in India, so in Bombay. So the man was nice. He was very respectful to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, during that walk, somehow the man joined Prabhupada next to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said to him, what is your occupation? He says, I'm a glassmaker. I make glass. So Prabhupada said, what are the ingredients in glass? So he was explaining, silicon. So Prabhupada said, sand, right? Yeah. He said, yes, sand. They call it silica. So Prabhupada said, where does the sand come from? So he says, because the man was a pious, he said, if sand comes, he comes from God. So he said, you're taking God's sand and you're making money, so you're a big thief. You're a thief. So the man said, well, I give some money in donations, you know, Prabhupada said, then you're a little thief. Still, you're a thief. You're taking Krishna's energy and you're making money off it and you're becoming famous and rich and you think, oh, just see. You're forgetting who it comes from. Some people, you know, they take what belongs to someone else and they use it in such a way as to become famous or rich by it, and then they're considered glorious. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to say, everyone in this material world is cheater or cheated. Everyone is cheating, and somebody's being cheated and somebody's expert in cheating. There's people who love to be cheated. They always look for means to become cheated. How to get something cheap. And there's somebody out there there was one man, he was so smart, he wrote in one newspaper one time. He put an ad in one of these, he said, amazing offer, send in $1 now. He has this, you know, address. That's all it said. Amazing offer, send in $1 now. Here, people were sending in dollars. They didn't know why they were sending in dollars. He became, you know, quite wealthy, took all the money. He just got everybody to send in a dollar. People are out there, they want to be cheated. This is Kali Yuga. Everybody's looking for something quick. But, you know, you see, people who have wealth, are they satisfied? No, they're always thinking, how can I get more? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, the nature of that kind of consciousness. So much wealth do I have today, and so much more will be mine in the future. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemy will also be killed. I am surrounded by aristocratic relatives and friends. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I shall give in charity, and then I shall rejoice. This poem, Krishna says, this is the consciousness of the demons. They're always thinking how to get more, never satisfied with what they have. And they're always, if you find that you're good at something, and somebody else is also good at the same thing, you feel that person's like your competitor, right? So you have to do something better to beat them out, right? So you can be better than that person. If somebody else is good in some other field where you're not involved in it, you don't care. But if somebody's good with what you are, you're just like, I have to be better than them. I have to be more qualified than them. I have to let people know that I'm better than them, right? This is the material world. This is Kali Yuga. So much competition, so much strife, so much quarrel, so much fighting. So here, it's explained that this entire Kali Yuga is full of faults. Kilair doshani de rajan asti eko mahagunaha kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sangha parampajat. The Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who inaugurated this movement of Sankirtan, are trying to spread this movement all over the world. This is the only hope, really, for this condemned and degraded age, really. People are trying to make this world better and better by legislation, by some kind of political arrangements, and by so many welfare and philanthropical and humanitarian groups trying to help people in different situations. But it's like trying to put, it's like if a man is dying, you give him an aspirin. What will that do? It doesn't do anything. He's dying. He needs some kind of emergency help. So this age is degraded. It destroys the good qualities of the human being. Even if you have good qualities, when you find yourself in the midst of this environment, you find yourself being drawn in, affected, and degraded by qualities that you don't even find attractive. You just pick it up. It just happens. It's like a big, dirty... You ever find yourself in the midst of a, dust storm? So much dust, and dust is getting all over you. You can't help it because you're in the midst of it. So this is like one big dust storm. Lust, anger, greed, envy, competition, gossip. Gossip, right? What is the average talk that people engage in is talking about the bad qualities of everybody else, right? It was the news, this guy did this, and he did that, and look what he's doing, and did you hear about this? And they have these talk shows now on TV. You've seen these modern-day talk shows. Sometimes, when I'm out preaching, I somehow or other come across these little things. And they have, they're on the television, they're complaining about everybody else. How this person did this to me, and was it fair? And then the audience votes, is it fair or not fair? It's like everybody's ganging up on somebody, right? Sometimes they fight right on TV. Two people, right? You've seen that? They just chew each other up and chop them up and right on the television, Everybody loves it. Jerry what? Springer, okay. And I guess they spring everybody into action, It's like the Christians, when the Romans were throwing the Christians to the lions, everybody was out there cheering, yay, This is Kali Yuga, Everybody wants to get over on... If you can somehow or other defeat somebody, mentally or physically, and you feel like you're superior, this is Kali Yuga. And you're considered glorious, right? The best. The best in the category of the worst. Who can, have the most sex? Who can eat the most? Who can cheat the other guy the most? He's the best, right? He's considered Bhagavan. Right? This is Kali Yuga. And people are glorified. So when the scriptures say it's a degraded and very sinful and demoniac and uncivilized age, it's not an exaggeration. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the medicine. There's only one hope for this age. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangu Panga Saparshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hisu Medasa. Congregational glorification of the holy names of the Lord are the only means to somehow or other push back the tide of the sinful age Kali Yuga. There's no other way. And this Harinam Sankirtan is powerful to recreate Satya Yuga on this planet. It is that powerful, yeah. It explains, said Prabhupada said, if the inaugurators of this movement strictly follow the requisite principles and spread this movement for the benefit of all human society, they will certainly usher in a new way of life by reestablishing Sanatana Dharma, the occupational duties of humanity. Now, this is actually the light within the darkness. This age is very dark. That is the light. This Harinam is Sankirtan. And you see, wherever you take Harinam, people are affected. People are attracted. Many of them are attracted. They like it. It's Lord Chaitanya's movement. And it is not sectarian. It's the universal church. It's the church where all religious people can actually find unity within that, coming together and glorifying the holy names of the Lord. There's no rituals. There's no rules and regulations. There's no kinds of formal dress. It's just congregational glorification of the holy name by chanting and dancing and inviting others. And this is the means for reestablishing such a yuga within the Kali Yuga. And as it was predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in every town and village of the world, my holy name will be chanted. The Lord himself predicted. So this is the age. So there's a sense of responsibility we have. When we come into this Krishna consciousness movement, we are enthusiastic to somehow or other become Krishna conscious ourselves and better our life spiritually. But we also take on an obligation when we come into that arena, that we're somewhat obligated to take that same teaching, that message, that benefit that we get and give it to others. That is actually the legacy of this movement. As you move into it, you benefit, but you're also responsible to give it to others. And of course, as you give it to others, you also benefit. In fact, that is the way to benefit. And Lord Chaitanya explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya, he broke out the storehouse of love of God. He spread the contents everywhere. And he says that storehouse of love of God, rather than diminished in size, actually grew. As the contents were, the fruits were distributed, the storehouse became greater. This is spiritual life. When you have something spiritually and you give it, you get more. You try to keep it, you lose it. And it's like, they say, just like if you have a pot and it has water in it, and it has a little crack in the pot, and gradually the water seeps out. So in the same way, that whatever we've been given in Krishna consciousness, if we give it to others, then we get more. And if we try to hold it, we lose it. You can't keep it, you have to give it. If you give it, you get it. That is Krishna consciousness. So this movement is meant for re-spiritualizing the world and bringing ultimately Satyayuga back to this planet. Okay, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes?
What would be the ideal occupation for a person in this age?
What is the ideal occupation for a person in this age? You mean spiritually or materially?
Material
occupation? Well. Yes, very good answer. Book distribution. You're talking about, you mean getting a job outside? Usually any job you have outside, you have to compromise your religious principles. There's only a few you don't have to. If you work in convenience stores, if you're around selling of meat, or selling the intoxication, you also become implicated by that. If you're in that arena, you also become affected by that. So there's not many good occupations out there, and that doesn't somewhat degrade one's life. And you associate with people who are also against religious principles and are living a sinful life, you also become affected. As devotees, Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to establish their own systems of business. He wanted that. Those who were grihasthas, he wanted them to develop communities based on grihastha life and somehow or other work together and come up with businesses where they could be free from, the effects of association with materialistic people and develop a sense of economic, success within that. He wanted to set up businesses like that. And sometimes, you can find just their small business and devotees have set up like that. They deal with the material world. It's like if you go into our gift shop, they have these Rama energy bars, right? That was devised by Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj, the Guru Maharaj of Sunil Madhava. Now Bhakti Charu Maharaj is engaged in a project where he's raising money to produce a film on the life of Srila Prabhupada called Abhay Charan. So in order to raise money, he's created this little candy bar. And they're marketing in health food stores. And it's all natural. It's all offered to Krishna before it's given out to the stores. So people get prasadam. They get a nice little energy bar. And at the same time, devotees make money in order to push on Krishna consciousness. So the best business is somehow where you can help others become Krishna conscious and at the same time make some money on it. So you have to, it's a little bit of a brainstorming type thing. See how to do it. Wilson, you had a question? Comment?
I was thinking the same thing that Krishna, I don't feel like Krishna wants to be financially independent. So that we can spend our time in spiritual activity. And like myself, just being a working person in favorable condition, like some week there, it's just more bad times. I work my time, I don't consider it an application of a spiritual devotee. It's more bad time than I have, but I don't have to do that.
It's the decline, it's not a decline, it's somewhat of a lack within our society that these things have not been really solidly established. But grihasthas can work together as grihasthas, have the association of devotees, and at the same time take care of their economic needs. It's quite sad, but there are a few places in the world that have solved that problem. But generally speaking, that should be an endeavor of the grihastha community in any temple to see, get the grihasthas together and see how they can pool their resources and somehow or other work together. To fulfill their needs within their family and within their life, and at the same time become Krishna conscious by doing it. So that is a challenge. But that's not an option. That must be done. Otherwise, you're again back in that polluted arena. Mother, yes, you had a question? Calvertex. You're making a very good point, because this is again something that needs to be developed. Prabhupada wanted these farm communities to establish simple living, self-sufficiency, and to supply the temples. He wanted devotees to open restaurants in the cities and get all natural foods and supply to the restaurants. And people come and get first-class food, and at the same time they would get prasadam. And there's talks. You can listen to what Prabhupada's talking about these things, how he wanted these farms to be the backbone of our economic society. So there's some farms that are trying. New Vrindavan is developing to a certain degree with cows and some self-sufficiency, but it actually hasn't expanded itself out sufficiently. Because to get people to live on the farms nowadays, it's not easy. People like the cities better or something. It's really, and it's, when you get on a farm, it's hard work. But actually, in one sense, it's healthier living, that's for sure. If you're having any health problems, the best place to go is to one of our farm communities. And your health will definitely improve, no question. The quality of the air, the quality of the environment, and the quality of the association, food, everything is much better. But ultimately, they still need to be developed. Prabhupada wanted four things. He said, grow your own food, make your own clothes, grow your own herbs, and learn how to minister those herbs for medicine, and ultimately grow your own building materials and build your own buildings from those materials. He says, this is the foundation for self-sufficiency on earth. Our farms. And then ultimately take time, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deity, and live happily, and free from all this. Prabhupada said, zoom, zoom, zoom. You go outside, people are going, zoom, zoom, zoom. They call it going to work, right? Prabhupada says, a dog is running on four legs, and the man is running on four tires. So what's the difference? Both are running. So the man thinks I'm more advanced because I'm on four tires. When the dog's doing the same thing. So, if you think about it, it's actually correct. We have this motor car civilization. You know, everybody has to have a car. Can't live without a car. Whoa! It's like not living without a heart, you know? But the problem is, yes, you drive 50 miles to go to work one day, and you drive 50 miles to come back that night, and you sit 2 hours in traffic during the day, and then, you know, you're just swearing at the guy next to you, you know? They call it civilization, right? Civilization means to be stuck on a freeway for 3 hours. That's called civilization. I would think that would be, they missed civilization badly, right? Now they got, now people are, they got rage on the roads, right? People are so fried being on the road now. It's just like, I was driving, last time I was driving. And I noticed one man cut off somebody else, and he cut in front of him. So that man became agitated. So he got in the next lane, drove in front of him, cut him off. So they were having a fight, you know? And it was like really dangerous. And then one guy, I noticed this, he opened his window and he threw something out the window to the car behind him, you know? It fell in front of my car, I could see it. It was just some plastic thing or something. He just threw it out to hit the car behind him just to let him know that, you know, I'm in control, you know? So you see, this is Kali Yuga, you know? People want to fight. They fight with cars, they fight with guns, they fight with everything, bombs, fists, words. So everybody's just fighting. And so now on the highways, it's become really, years ago, I mean, I've been driving for many years. Years ago, you didn't see so many cars. Now you see a lot of cars. Highways, or even the off-highways are getting more and more full of cars. Years ago, you could drive on a highway once in a while, there's a car coming once in a while this way or that way. But nowadays, all the highways, especially in the city areas, are just like jammed up. And they want to make overheads, right? And bring on overheads. Just like in India. In India now they're doing it. In Bombay. First time, you know, Bombay is coming alive. They're making these overhead passes. You know, before it was just rickshaws and donkeys and goats and cows and, you know, bicycles and motorbikes and rickshaws and motorcycles and bicycles. And now it's everybody, you know, people are getting cars now in India. And now it's the roads in Bombay. You mean Bombay, you ever try to drive in Bombay? You know what it's like. If you're going the wrong way, that means if the traffic is going, one time of the day it's going one way and the other time it's going the other way. If you're going the way the traffic is, you sit in two and a half, 3 hours to get one side of the city to the other in Bombay. You just might as well just chant. You just sit there and chant, you know. You're getting killed by the smog, but you sit there and you chant anyway. It's just hell. Kali Yuga is hell when you look at it. Everywhere it's like this. And it's spreading its poison everywhere. So therefore, there's really no hope but this Harinam Sankirtan movement. I mean, we speak about philosophy, we preach, but how many people really take philosophy to heart and change their life? How many people really change their life based on philosophy? Very few. Very few. People read and they hear lectures. They can't even remember what they read or what they hear, what they speak about changing. And so, therefore, you know, one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Australia. He was preaching with students. He was at a college. And then after the lecture, Prabhupada asked for questions. And they were a lot of questions. They were all challenging questions. Why do you do this? What is this? And so Prabhupada was trying very nicely to answer the questions, but people were just cutting off Prabhupada. They wouldn't let him finish the answers. They were just, you know, challenging. So at one point, some of the devotees jumped in to kind of like, stave off the attacks. So finally, after Prabhupada said, let's go, it became intolerable. The audience was calling out and criticizing and screaming. So Prabhupada, on the way back, he said, you know, what are these lectures? Better to have Harinam Sankirtan. People can't understand philosophy. Just give them Krishna consciousness. Give them philosophy and give them the holy name. Right? Really, it's philosophy. It becomes philosophy, you know. Devotees can appreciate philosophy. No, but the general person, why do they come to spiritual life? Because their material life has crashed to the ground. It's been powdered by Maya. So they come, and they're looking for something better, because they've been, ultimately they hit rock bottom. Not only rock bottom, it's so far down, they have to look up to see down. And so they've just been smashed in smithereens, and they say, maybe I should turn to God. Right? And so people come, and then they can get a taste for spiritual life. But how many people actually come because of philosophy? Very few. Somebody who is actually doing somewhat what we call nicely in the world, or success, how many actually come? Only those persons who have pious activities and who have devotional service in their previous lives. If they and people like that, they come to Krishna consciousness because of their previous karma, their previous pious and devotional activity. They may be successful. But the general mass of people take their spiritual life because, you know, they've just been destroyed in their material life. So give them the holy name and give them Krishna Prasad. Two things. Prabhupada said we have weapon and we have secret weapon. Weapon is the holy name. Secret weapon is prasad. You eat prasad, you get purified, and you don't even know it. It works. Okay, so, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.